This Sunday, Lauren Bacall will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Tony Awards party. At the age of 19, she knocked everyone out with her screen debut in the 1944 film To Have and Have Not. 1 year later, she married her leading man, Humphrey Bogart. They'd been married over 11 years when Bogart died of cancer. Their screen lives together included the films The Big Sleep, Dark Passage, and Key Largo. Bacall also starred in Young Man with a Horn, How to Marry a Millionaire, Designing Woman, Murder on the Orient Express, The Shootist, and Misery. Terry spoke with Lauren Bacall in 1994 about her on- and off-screen relationship with Humphrey Bogart.
I think a lot of people have been a little disappointed by life and by love because they compare it to what they've seen in the movies and it never quite measures up to the movie version. Before you ever really experienced love, you were acting out the movie version of romance. And then you started having the romance with the person who you were acting it out with on screen. And I guess I'm really wondering if there was anything disappointing about the real life version of it, even though it was the same two people who were doing it on screen.
No, if there was any disappointment in my marriage, in my life with
no, in the early romance of it.
The early romance was the most romantic experience I have ever had in my life, far surpassing anything that I might have dreamed of or imagined. It was quite amazing. I mean, when you are young and when it's your first love and you are just carried away by it and when that's all you can think about. And, you see, Bogey was the kind of man who believed in taking care of a marriage and taking care of a relationship. He believed you had to work at it and keep it fresh and fun and interesting, and he did.
He was already a movie star to you, right?
Oh, yes,
when you worked
absolutely.
Together. So you had a sense of him as an icon as well as
no,
a man.
No, not as an icon. He was not my favorite movie star.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell him that?
Yes, he knew it. No, Leslie Howard was my favorite. Uh-huh. He knew that. But he had worked with Leslie Howard in Petrified Forest, which is funny, you know. No, he wasn't an icon when I met him. I mean, he would, because it was after Casablanca, and he was a big star, but certainly not what he is today, which is this legend, this incredible icon now. I mean, he is bigger than ever.
I'm sure you've been asked this a zillion times, but do you think that what you and Bogart were feeling off screen, you can see on screen? I mean, that the real relationship registers in the movie?
Well, I think sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. Certainly the chemistry registers, whether it is a consummated relationship or not. I think if there is chemistry between two people, you feel it. I think that Bogey and myself in To Have and Have Not, I think having fallen in love with one another, finally, I think, first of all, it was great for me because it gave him, he wanted me to be good in it, so he made it much easier for me to play the scenes. And of course, my feeling, you know, the feeling was so strong that, you know, originally in To Have and Have Not, his character was supposed to have a little flirtation with the other woman. And once Hawks saw the rushes of the scenes that Bogey and I had played, Bogey said to him, nobody is ever going to accept or believe that he would go off with anybody else for a second. And it was true.
When you and Bogart decided to get married, you write that he said to you that he wanted to marry you, but only if you were willing to give up going on location for a film because he didn't want you both going off in different directions.
Right.
How do you feel about that in retrospect?
Well, I recognize the fact completely that separation does not breed a happy marriage. I think you must be together. I mean, the reason you get married is to be together, not to be separated. And I think particularly in my profession, but in any profession, I think if you each go off in opposite directions, sooner or later, one of you is going to go off and not come back. And I think that's natural. I agreed to his terms.
But you want it so much to be an actress.
Right.
And this cut down on the roles that you could take.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And I never even got the office because I was thought of as Bogey's wife, and then I would just go with him on location, which I did. And we were never separated. We were separated once only for a very short time.
Well, you know, I was thinking how in a way frustrating it must have been when he was making African Queen with Katharine Hepburn. You were there in Africa with them, kind of suffering through through all of the problems they had to suffer through. But I mean, you were there as the wife. And
I was there as the wife. I was in charge of lunch. No, right.
So
no, but, you know,
feel?
I had a lot of frustrations mm-hmm. about my career.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, times where I felt I should have been considered for a part that I wasn't considered for. Bogey had decided early on and told me from the very beginning that he would never interfere with my career, that whatever I did professionally, I would do only with myself and my agent. If I wanted his advice, I could ask him, but that he would never step in, and he never did. And sometimes I thought, well, he ought to step in. I mean, once in a while, I should be in a movie with him that one of the parts is... But whatever his decision was, he was correct because he'd had enough experience to know what worked and what didn't work. And I was very frustrated at times, but I still believe, and I even believed then, that even throughout my frustration, that the choice I made was the right one. Obviously, in view of what happened, it most certainly was the right one. And I'm really happy that I made that choice.
Because your life together
was short. Well, because he had a life. He had a life that he never thought he would have. And it was very short. But imagine if I'd gone off somewhere. Well, I mean, he wouldn't have stood for it anyway, so.
I want to ask you about working with some of the many people you've worked with
yes,
over the
absolutely.
Years and see if you could share some of your impressions of them. You work with Marilyn Monroe on mm-hmm. How to Marry a Millionaire. How was the experience of working with her?
It was fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got along very well. My only complaint about her was that she was late all the time. But she was late out of fear as much as anything else. But it was hard to sit around and wait, you know. But she was usually an hour or two late every morning.
You strike me as such different types, probably off the screen, certainly on the screen.
Oh, yes, we were. We are. I mean, I wish I had been as photogenic as she was. But she was a very kind of sweet, kind of far away, very self-involved, but not... I mean, she had no meanness. She was not bitchy. She was not strident in any way. She was just always seemed a little lost to me, wistful kind of, but just kind of not quite there. Do you know what I mean? And you'd be playing a scene with her, and she would go over and over the scene, and you'd have to be on your toes because she'd do many, many takes. And she always had the coach on the set, which was a big annoyance, you know, that's constantly... Instead of looking at you, she'd be looking at the coach. That kind of thing was difficult. But personally, she really was sweet. I mean, we did get along well.
John Wayne, you worked with him in two movies, Storm Warning in the 50s.
No, Blood Alley. Yeah.
Blood Alley, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I mean. Blood Alley in the 50s, and then The Shootist in, was it 75, 76?
77,
okay. And that The Shootist was his last movie, and he had cancer in real life and also in the movie,
right,
the character was an aged gunfighter who was dying of cancer. I'm wondering what it was like then, knowing that he was really sick, that would probably be his last movie, not wanting to kind of over-dramatize the significance of that, but here he is playing out the drama on screen that's happening off screen, and you know what's happening, but you don't want to get too...
Well, you couldn't with him.
Mm-hmm.
I learned through Bogey's illness... that the person who is ill is the one who dictates your behavior.
Right, right. You take your cues from them.
Right. And Bogey never discussed it and never talked about it once after his surgery. And so I never did.
Mm-hmm.
And
you never
Duke
talked
was
about
the
it together?
No. No. And... You know, we say some days, you know, I don't feel so good today, or I have to do this, you know, I have to go have this radiation or what, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, he never talked to me about if something happens or what might, you know, never. Now, Duke was the same. Duke never talked about it. I mean, mind you, I wasn't married to him, but he still, we knew each other fairly well and never talked about it, and he handled himself impeccably. Well, you have to go along with that. You know, he was, he was very strange contradiction of a man to me because he, of course, politically we didn't agree about anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were really on opposite sides. And vehemently so, so we never discussed it, obviously. But we worked very well together. And he was sweet with me, and he was really attractive, you know. He had a quality that surprised me, that he did have a kind of a real appeal. I mean, there was a reason he was such a big star. He had he was a real man, and he had real appeal.
Lauren Bacall from a 1994 interview with Terry Gross. This Sunday, Bacall will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Tony Awards Party. This is Fresh Air.